You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to tonight's live broadcast of the award-winning Political Cesspool radio program. I am your host, James Edwards. It is indeed Saturday evening, the 25th of July, 2015. And for the fourth consecutive week now, thousands of Southerners are pouring into the streets in support of the Confederate flag. To date, there have been well over 100 of these spontaneous rallies that have collectively generated tens of thousands of supporters. From the 5,000 in Ocala, Florida, a couple of weeks ago, to the 500 we rallied in Memphis, to rallies big and small everywhere else in between, I'm seeing a groundswell of activism never before witnessed in my political career. And let us pray to the good Lord that something substantive comes from this, something that is sustainable, something that is more than just a blip on the radar. In Connecticut, however, a shopper at a flea market stumbled upon a Confederate flag, and he was so distraught that he actually called 911. The officer told him that the Confederate flag wasn't doing anything wrong and that it wouldn't be arrested. But in all seriousness, a guy did see a Confederate flag in Connecticut and called 911 on it. Keith Alexander is not in studio with me tonight. He is driving back from Mississippi. But he is on the phone and connected to the studio through his cell phone as he rolls up I-55 northbound. Keith, a guy sees a Confederate flag and calls 911. This is not a joke. This is not The Onion. I am not making this up. I mean, what can you say about that?
Well, you talk about some useless information that's supposed to drive your imagination. Imagine something this absurd being a news story. That some news outlet would actually take the time to report. You know, this shows you just how biased the news media is and how anti-white, anti-Southern, anti-Confederate that it is. It truly is. They will strain at gnats to find something like this. Some mentally ill person, obviously, some deeply neurotic person sees the Confederate flag and has an apoplexy. And that's a news story. You know, I'm just incredulous. I can't believe it. But on the other hand, he comes down here to Dixie. He's going to find he's going to be in a coma because I've been traveling down Highway 49 on the way to Hattiesburg, and I've seen two spontaneous demonstrations in favor of the Confederate flag. I saw one display on Highway 49 and said, had the Confederate flag with Free South on the, or Free the South, on written on a Confederate flag, and probably 20 Confederate flags and about 50 people gathered around. So,
well, Keith, you're exactly right. If seeing one at a flea market got him that upset, yeah, it's a good thing he wasn't in North Carolina, to give you another example, and we could draw from dozens and dozens of these examples, but. But I think we should ship this guy a free one, you know, to show him what good, kind-hearted people we are. But, you know, if he had been in North Carolina last Saturday, small-town North Carolina, some county I've never even heard of, a crowd of more than 4,000 rallied in defense of the Confederate monument there that has been dedicated to fallen loved ones. And that's something you got to remember, folks, the personal aspect of this. When you go to these small towns and these county courthouses, those Confederate monuments that are erected there are erected in the name and in the memory and in the honor of those Confederates who came from those towns, the relatives of the people who are stirring out and turning out to defend them. And the problem in the South, as Keith mentioned, is quite different than the one in Connecticut. Down here, we want to be able to find, buy, and fly more Confederate flags, but all of the distributors are currently sold out due to the overwhelming demand. This is unprecedented. A flag-producing company in Huntsville, Alabama, announced in a soul-warming interview that the demand for the Confederate flags have reached an all-time high, proving that love and pride for the South still holds strong. So there's this young woman named Belinda Kennedy. She's the owner of Alabama Flag and Banner. And she says that orders from across the world have left her staff swamped. Now, they do these hand-cut, hand-sewn Confederate flags, and there's a long wait time for these orders. And so, you know, she says that we're getting absolutely swamped. This was in an interview with one of the newspapers down there, one of the dailies in Alabama. She says, we're finding that people still want these flags, the ones that are more like a piece of art with the sewn stripes and stars. Those are really labor intensive and it takes a long time to produce. We're still being flooded with these orders. We're getting tons of orders from overseas. We're making them as fast as we can. I've been called a racist. I've been called a bigot. I've been called a non-Christian. I've been called a little bit of everything, this woman writes. We've got a picture of her on our website. But she says this, Keith, and I'll turn it back to you, my friend. She says, I've had a few people threaten me, but that's by and large a drop in the bucket to the outpouring of support I've received, which is amazing. And at this moment, we should do all we can to buy and obtain a Confederate flag. There is little that angers the enemies of traditional blood and culture more than the banner of Southern defiance. But take heart from the story of this woman, Belinda Kennedy, who, again, her picture's on our website, holding one of these flags that she makes in Alabama. And stand proud against those who wish us to be broken and destroyed. Keith, we have a lot to be excited about right now.
Yes, and, you know, she may be called a racist and a bigot, but I hope soon she'll be called a millionaire. You know, the Spanish had a wise saying. They said, there's no revenge better than living well. And hopefully she'll live well and prosper for a long time based on the tempest in the teapot stirred up by the enemies of traditional white culture and tradition and heritage.
Well, it is showing no signs of slowing down right now. Now, again, we have to hope that this is sustainable. We have to hope that this lasts much longer than 4 weeks, you know, for years into the future. That's going to be tough. We have to do everything we can to see that we remain eternally vigilant. And it's got to be more than, you know, certainly street demonstrations like we're having now, these peaceful assemblies of God-fearing, hard-working, tax-paying, all-American people who are turning out with their flag. That's great. That's encouraging. That's unprecedented. But we're going to obviously have to take it further than that. There's obviously going to have to be political pressure applied on those in positions of power from our people. And they're going to have to take, we're going to have to take it to the next level. But so far, this is about as good as you could have expected there to be a response to the hate craze of anti-Southern sentiments that have been spawned and exploited from the tragedies in Charleston.
Well, here's what is happening, James. Basically, the left is emboldened. They apparently think they've reached that critical point of the demographic transformation of the United States where they can now destroy the majority culture and its icons and its symbols with impunity. That's what they're trying to do. Meanwhile, in Memphis, at Ground Zero, where we were for the Forrest birthday celebration several weeks ago, De'Ami Bailey, a black civil rights activist, a guy that was so far to the left and so nutty that he was actually impeached from the Berkeley, California City Council. Can you imagine how left-wing you would have to be and how nutsoid you would have to be?
Keith, we're going to talk about that when we come back. We've got to take our first break. Hang on, everybody. We'll fill in the blanks.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, I'm going to set Keith up perfectly for the story he was about to get into. But I'm going to first do so with a preface. So here in Memphis, as Keith is calling Ground Zero, and it is in many ways. I mean, certainly it's because it's the city from which this program originates. But a few days ago, a group of about a half a dozen black Memphians apparently called one of the local television news affiliates here in town because they were waiting at Nathan Bedford Forrest Park here, which is, of course, not just the Forrest Monument, but also the grave of Forrest and his wife. And these six or so blacks, with news cameras rolling, got a shovel and started digging up, or symbolically attempting to dig up, Forrest's corpse. And the organizer of this half-dozen strong rally said, if he's gone, racism might be gone. We've got a shovel full, and we hope everybody else will come down here and help dig him up. We're going to bring the backhoe, the tractors, and the men with the equipment to raise Bedford Forrest from the soil of Memphis. Now, as he said this, ironically, he was wearing a Malcolm X shirt, a T-shirt, of course. But if we remove Nathan Bedford Forrest's bones from Memphis, all racism is going to be gone. What about the race hate that this guy is engaging in? You know, and if you remove Nathan Bedford Forrest from Memphis, will it create one more job for a black Memphian? Will it end black-on-black violence in this city or anywhere else? Will it improve their standard of life in one way or the other? And let me tell you something. If I had been at Forest Park that day and seen this, the first thing I would have done is I would have called the police, and I would have walked over to these folks, and I would have said, listen, guys, this man here is an American hero. And if you want to get to him, that shovel's going to have to go through me before it hits another blade of grass. I said, you know, I don't want a confrontation, but I'm going to stand my ground on this. This is a felony. This is corpse, you know, violation of a corpse, attempted violation of a corpse, the desecration of a grave. It's a horrible sin. It's the product of a sick and twisted mind. And had they dug deep enough to find the bodies, what then? You know, do you take turns urinating on the dead and laughing? I mean, and where is the law enforcement on this, Keith? And I'm setting this up for the De'Army Bailey thing because he's a member or a former member of the judiciary here in Memphis. But, you know, we'll recall at your alma mater, Ole Miss, hate crimes charges. The federal government launched an investigation into a college prank, obviously a drunken prank where some kid at Ole Miss draped the statue of James Meredith down there on campus with the old Georgia State flag, which had the Confederate flag as part of the design. Now, he's facing 10 years in prison for this prank. But no problem at all do they have with the desecration of a grave. You know, there have been hundreds of these monuments vandalized.
You know, yeah, it's such a double standard. A white kid drapes a statue of James Meredith, who's a very dubious hero of any stripe, the guy, the first black to attend the University of Mississippi in 1962, and he's facing 10 years in jail for a hate crime. Meanwhile, these guys are, these black individuals in Memphis are trying to desecrate the grave and monument of Nathan Bedford Forrest. Not only are they not charged with a hate crime, they're probably getting some type of Guggenheim Fellowship or something for doing this, you know, for their imaginative work to improve society. Let me ask you this. Did they succeed in digging up General Forrest and his wife? The answer, of course, is no, because that might involve hard work. You know, in fact, whenever any of these leftists start to do something like this, digging up a grave will involve way too much hard labor. They'll never do that unless they manage to rent a backhoe and then also hire somebody that knows how to operate it, because, believe me, these leftists would never know how to do any of that. So it's a farce, but it's the type of farce that has become the new reality, the new normal in a place like Memphis and the United States generally, unfortunately.
Now, how can we tie this in, though, Keith, with De'Army Bailey, another person, obviously, here in Memphis that they would say?
He's the new normal. He's the new hero. De'Army Bailey is a hard leftist who came to Memphis with a chip on his shoulder. He had been driven out of Berkeley, California, where he had been elected to the city council, and then when the people of Berkeley found out what a piece of work he was, they had a recall election, had him basically impeached. Now, can you imagine what a leftist loon you would have to be in order to be impeached or recalled in the world capital of leftism, Berkeley, California? But that's what this guy did. He came to Memphis, fanned the flames of racial hatred, managed to get himself elected as a judge, where he had a reputation for being one of the laziest judges on the bench. I remember having a workers' compensation trial that should have lasted a day that lasted an entire week because he would come late, leave early for lunch, come back late for lunch, and then leave early in the afternoon, so you can never get anything accomplished. And from, you know, he granted continuances to his favorites, which tended to be people of the same race as him, lawyers, and denied them to ones who were not his favorites, which tended to be people of a different race. But see, all of this, now they are going to give him an unprecedented honor. They are going to rename the courthouse that was built in 1909, which has never been named for anyone. No one else is being worthy of this honor. But now they're going to name it after De'Army Bailey, who died of cancer recently at age 73. And the person spearheading this, to add insult to injury, is none other than Terry Rowland, who is a kind of white populist guy that was a thorn in the side of all the leftists, who has become surprisingly docile in their lapdog in the past several months, where people wonder what's going on. This, unfortunately, is a pattern that we see way too often. We see people who are, you know, persuaded away from activism in favor of the white population or the traditional population or Western culture, traditional Western culture generally, and you know, and I guess it's because the left has all the paying positions. That's where the money is. And this is why we can't get any traction. That's why we were talking earlier today about an article by Greg Hood that we both found and found very inspiring. He's got a new word for mainstream conservatives. People like Karl Rove calls them cuckservatives after a cuckold. A cuckold is a man who is bamboozled by his wife into raising some other man's child. In other words, a child that she had usually on an adulterous relationship. Well, see, that's what our leaders are. They are sellouts like that. They are basically promoting the interests of others, people other than the people that elected them, and they take a perverse pride in this. It's almost sick, and you know, we're seeing this. We're seeing it with the De'Armi Bailey situation, and we're going to see more and more of this. You're seeing somebody who is basically just a rabble rouser being honored above a true military genius and brave, honorable man like Nathan Bedford Forrest.
Keith, I've got
the new normal.
Well, that's right, and I mean, now we're celebrating degenerates, utter filth, like Bruce Jenner. I mean, obviously this guy's mentally ill, but he's being lauded as a hero. I've got a perfect response, I think, a very healthy response to what we're seeing here in a society that calls good evil and evil good. I'll give it to you as soon as we come back. Stay tuned, everybody.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
It's time for us to stand, folks. I mean, when it's gotten so bad that the ghouls are coming to dig up the remains of our heroes and our relatives, it's time to stand up. And in a way, it's good that it is getting to this point. As the Apostle Paul said, suffering buildeth endurance, and endurance buildeth character. John Calvin said you must submit to supreme suffering in order to discover the fullness of joy. White people, for the longest time, have wanted a life of comfort. They want to concede. They want to give in. They want to be left alone. They're willing to surrender. Just let us keep our toys, they say. Our cars, our suburban houses, our grills, professional and collegiate sports teams, computer games, smartphones, etc. Whites are bereft of courage and of loyalty. They're weak, they're spineless, they're unmanly. They don't have integrity, solidarity, or a sense of community and belonging, physically and mentally unfit. And we can be thankful, Keith, that our enemies are not wise enough to let whites have some slack, to let them lead their meaningless, idle, brain-dead, and spiritually empty lives until they die. Our enemies are so hate-crazed that they have to push forward. They have to push forward to the point where they want the complete eradication of not just our symbols, but of even our graves. They can't control themselves. They are immoderate. They're all gas pedal and no brakes. And because they will give us no space, they will force us at some point to be what we ought to be. And we will only recover our heritage, our community, and the fullness of genuine life by being made to suffer. So, you know, I look forward to this. You know, something's going to have to change. So I want to thank the media. I want to thank these haters, because without them, Keith, I believe we may be doomed. But with them, we might have a chance. We see these rallies. They're beginning. You know, they're more than we've seen in almost the 11 years we've been doing this show. It's not enough. It's a tremor. It's not enough. But we got to remember to always tell the truth in love, to speak truth to power. But we have to understand that while certainly there's a segment of the population that is open-minded and willing to present themselves to the truth, there are also people like these that showed up at the grave, these that are in the media spouting these lies just for a paycheck. They are totally unmoved by, unmotivated by, contemptuous of, and disinterested in the truth. We've got to remember that, and we've got to embrace all of these attacks, because it can only serve to make us stronger, and I think we're seeing that now. I think we're seeing people begin to stand up. It's a good thing. Now let's take it further, folks. Keith?
Well, it reminds me of the old analogy of the frog put into the pot of boiling water. He will jump out and preserve himself, but if he's put in a pot of room temperature water that is slowly raised to the boiling point, he'll permit himself to be boiled to death. Apparently, they've turned up the heat enough where a lot of people are beginning to pay attention, some for the first time. And you're right. People, as long as they've got their jet skis or their little cabin down by the lake, or they've got their season tickets to watch the Alabama Crimson Tide or whoever their team of preference is, they want to shut out the rest of it and just enjoy themselves. They want to fiddle while Rome burns. Well, as the famous Marxist Leon Trotsky said, you may not be interested in the revolution, but the revolution is interested in you. And I believe people are beginning to, for the first time in their lives, understand just exactly what that means, that the revolution is interested in them, and the interest is in no way beneficial. They're going, in fact, basically, it can lead nowhere except to the grave. We've got to do something. We've got to get, and you know, there's no, not in any way are we suggesting that anybody do anything or resort to violence. Basically, all you have to do is wake up. Just let the light bulb come on over the heads of enough people and let them use the rights that they have under the First Amendment that we still have and throughout the Constitution, and we can turn this thing back. But on the other hand, it's going to take a little bit of spine. It's going to take a little bit of courage and intestinal fortitude. And hopefully we're going to be called to do that now.
Well, we've been doing it for years, and if we can do it, anybody can do it, because there's nothing special about us. I can tell you that from personal experience, folks, and from firsthand knowledge. I mean, the only difference between us and anybody else is that we care enough to do the selfless act of doing this program for free and trying to provide leadership.
We woke up early, and hopefully other people will be awakened similarly.
Well, I agree, Keith, and I'll tell you, you know, this is an international broadcast. We've grown to the extent now that we have listeners all over the world, throughout Europe, Australia, wherever our people can be found, throughout the United States. This is not obviously an exclusively Southern show, but we say often we're all Confederates now, because you didn't think the forces of evil were going to stop at Confederate heroes and monuments, did you, folks? Let me tell you, we obviously know that's not true. We can draw on the example of Don Lemon saying it's time to rethink the Jefferson Memorial in the name of Washington D. itself. Well, listen, the Democratic Party is already taking action. The biggest fundraising dinner for the Democratic Party in the state of Connecticut has been called for years the Jefferson Jackson Dinner, after Thomas Jefferson and Andrew Jackson. Well, now, under pressure from the NAACP, the state Democratic Party in Connecticut will scrub the names of Jefferson and Jackson, that being Thomas Jefferson and Andrew Jackson, because of their ties to slavery. Party leaders voted unanimously in Hartford to rename the Jefferson Jackson Dinner in the aftermath of last month's shooting in Charleston. The decision is believed to be unprecedented and could prompt Democrats in other states with similarly named events to follow suit. I just saw it as the right thing to do, said Nick Bolletto, the party's chairman. That would be the Democratic Party of Connecticut. That's what he told a newspaper in Connecticut last Wednesday. I wasn't looking to be a trailblazer or set off a trend that's going to affect the rest of the country, but hopefully they'll follow suit when they see it's the right things to do, because blacks and Native Americans are a major constituency to the Democratic Party. And when something offends them, it's beyond being politically correct. It just needs to be changed. So, you know, here we go. You know, but why not just keep it the Jefferson Jackson Dinner? And just name it after George Jefferson and Michael Jackson, you know, true, you know, American heroes. By, I mean, you know, so here we go, Keith. The Native Americans, the so-called Native Americans, let's get that out there first of all, and the blacks, you know, 12% and what, 0.1% of the American population, they're such a major constituency of the Democratic Party. If one of them is offended, we got to do away. Hey, Andrew Jackson and Thomas Jefferson were nothing compared to these folks, you know, and so they've got to go. But what about all of the white Americans that are offended by all this? I guess some people who are offended are more meaningful than others, right? But here we go. And Thomas Jefferson.
And more importantly, what is the race of most of the people who are contributing to that party to make them effective? You know, we live in this crazy world where, you know, all the normal factors that would lead someone to say that somebody is significant and somebody's opinion counts that no longer counts, okay? I guarantee that there are more white members in the Democratic Party in Connecticut than non-white members, but that doesn't affect them a bit. You know, political correctness ruled over everything. It's crazy. It's a crazy world, buddy.
Keith, I can't argue with anything you said, I mean, to say the least. But so now, hey, listen, they're not going to stop in the South. They're going to keep going. They're going to keep pressing. They're going to go all the way back to the founding of this country, to the Revolutionary War heroes and beyond. They will not draw a line. As I said earlier, they are a moderate. And it's time that we draw the line for them and, in fact, push the line back, far, far, far back. And that's what, you know, we are aimed to do here in the political cesspool, right, Keith? Well, we got to take a break, folks. We'll be back in just a second. Stay tuned.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back. James Edwards here in Memphis at our flagship studio with you live tonight. Keith Alexander driving back from Hattiesburg, Mississippi on his cell phone. And we have, of course, Scoop Stanton from the belly of the beast itself, Washington District of Columbia, calling in to log his nightly report. Scoop, over to you.
Thank you, James. Good evening, Cesspool family. What I want to talk about has to do with the Star-Spangled Banner. During the battle at Fort McHenry, 1814, Francis Scott Key penned a poem that would eventually become our national anthem. The last verse calls these United States the land of the free and home of the brave. But are we really free? Recently, President Obama started a massive data collection based on race, where we live, get a mortgage from, how long our kids are suspended, and so on and so forth. This is so people like the ACLU can use this information to form a shakedown on you and me. This is only data collection. The federal government has been going after us for decades now. When the IRS goes after you for more of your hard-earned money, you have the burden of proof that you don't owe the money. The government also gropes women, children, and veterans attempting to fly in a plane. The TSA agents have no police powers whatsoever, but can restrict your movement to and from at the airport. Am I saying we don't need airport security? Of course not, but let's do it smartly. The TSA is not it. The federal government also has 40,000 people in Southern Maryland working at the National Security Agency, watching who we talk to, what we look at in social media, and so on. This is supposed to stop terrorism, but then we had Fort Hood, Boston, Charleston, Chattanooga, and also Washington with a post office worker landing a gyrocopter at Capitol Hill. This gentleman went on social media, Facebook and Twitter, said he was going to land his gyrocopter at Capitol Hill. And I can go on and on. Now, locally, the state and local government is just as bad. Law enforcement agencies are now used as revenue-generating agents. Superintendents, sheriffs, and chiefs of police are being pressured by elected representatives to have their men and women in the street to go out and issue summonses. New York State is making people register beer kegs like you register an automobile. When you buy a keg of beer, you put your name on the side of the beer keg and pay a fee to the Empire State. The Empire State now has vehicle inspection stations that use a computer with a program that the DMV can read every car inspection, and if your car has a simple check engine light, your car automatically fails. These computers cost $40,000 a piece. Needless to say, these mom-and-pop mechanic shops are no longer doing vehicle inspections. Oregon is now installing GPS devices in electric cars to track mileage as these cars use roads and don't pay their so-called fair share of gas tax. This program is voluntarily for now, but we all know what happens down the line. Locally, it doesn't get any better. Municipalities are using speed and traffic cameras to generate revenue, not making our streets safer. In New York City, Trojan could not give away free sex toys without paying $3,100 worth of permits. Luckily, the city reneged on it, and then Trojan was able to distribute the Merrill AIDS without paying any fees and permits. Jacksonville, Florida wants to pass a law forbidding people from backing cars in their own driveway. This is to prevent so-called backyard repair shops. Locality is also forbidding garage sales without having a permit and shutting down little kids' lemonade stands. The private sector is no better at all. You have homeowners associations, but nothing but way people with no power asserting fake power on other individuals. Homeowners can't fly American flags, park their cars in the driveway, they must have their exterior a certain color, a grass a certain length, so on and so on and so forth. I personally am in a HOA, and I say never again. As soon as I got the opportunity, I am moving far, far away from these places. Also, Progressive Insurance wants to install a device in your car to monitor your driving habits and will bill you accordingly. People, don't do this. The media is absolutely the worst. The media tells you what is news, not simply reporting what is news. Right now, you would think in the 2016 presidential election, there's only two choices, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. And you do not dare stray away from the script. And you do not dare report on black-on-white crime. In July of 2014, radio host Anthony Cumia is attacked in Times Square. Although carrying a licensed firearm, he does nothing except goes on Twitter to rant and rave some very vile yet sometimes funny thoughts. Again in 2014, Jersey City, New Jersey rookie cop Melvin Santiago is gunned down by a savage from the ghetto, and the cop killed his wife said that more cops should be killed. Local reporter Sean Bergen, who has seen the scenario time and time again, decided to take a stand and said on air that there's no respect for law enforcement in these ghettos because the lack of fathers and the media refuses to address this issue. We all know what happened to these two fine gentlemen. And with the exception of a very few media outlets, such as Fox News and the political cesspool, everyone in the media turned on the backs on these two talented people. Now, if somebody asked me if America is still land of the free, I would say, I think not. James, back to you.
Well, yeah, you know, I think to say the least, this country's changed a little bit since Francis Scott Key pinned the Star Spangled Banner outside of Fort McHenry in 1814. So that was, you tied it all together, I guess, in summation, Scoop, in about four paragraphs. Now, so I ask you, you know, with all the things that have been going on, all the singular issues we could have focused on for your segment tonight, what made you sort of go in with the smorgasbord and focus on the souffle this evening?
Well, just watching the news and, you know, watching the Confederate flag issue, the Charleston issue, Chattanooga. For example, they're starting to bury those Marines and the sailor. Well, you would not know about it unless you listen to, Liberty News Radio on SRN News. And then where's President Obama? He's over in Kenya for golly knows what. And do we know if if anybody from the White House is going to these funerals? No, we don't know, because they'd rather talk about, again, Donald Trump, who, he's my dark horse for 2016, and Hillary Clinton and Caitlyn Jenner or Bruce Jenner and whatever perversion of the month is. So I'm just sick and tired of just being sick and tired.
to channel, who was it, Fannie Lou Hamer. But well, you hit a couple of good points here. Chattanooga, let's talk about that for a second. You know, you brought this up, I believe it was in a text message when we were texting earlier in the week, Scoop, that the flags didn't go down to half staff for, what, a week after the shooting? And I think they're actually down today for that. 5 days?
Right.
In the meantime, when some street thug like Michael Brown gets shot in Ferguson, you know, Obama's there, you know, he's sending Eric Holder. The entire administration is fixated on this. Obama goes on television. Now, you know, certainly he talked about this. You know, I'm not saying he didn't. But, you know, do we know? I mean, and I'm, you know, perhaps he did. I don't think he was there. But did he send any administration officials to the funerals of the servicemen in Chattanooga?
Again, I don't know because, you know, watching Fox News. Nobody's reporting anything. Just that on social media and SRN News on the top of the hour on this program, they were talking about started the burials in Chattanooga. And for the people in the Chattanooga area, they came out and drove just like they did for Chris Kyle's funeral. But since those Marines were stand up guys serving the country, proud to be American, that doesn't matter. But if say one of them was like Bradley Manning came out of the closet, wants to get hormone treatments to be from a male to a female, the media would be all over it. And then, you know, MSNBC would be having a live broadcast from the funeral itself.
Oh, yeah. If any of these guys had been a transgendered whomever, you know, mentally ill person, yeah, certainly it would have gotten a lot more play. But in any case, I mean, you're certainly not stepping out of bounds. You're not out of line at all in your commentary to say that it is obvious to the Obama administration that the lives of these people were far less value and a far less importance than Trayvon Martin, or you just go on down the line, Freddie Gray, any of these, you know, societal misfits who met an early demise. And, of course, the killer didn't fit the narrative either. You know, that you have this, you know, Muslim guy, you know, shooting up servicemen in a place like Tennessee, of all places, in the heart of America, in a southern state. You know, that didn't fit the narrative either. And so they did, the way I see it is, they did as absolute little as they could to feign concern and appreciation and respect for the loss of life there without completely ignoring it altogether. I mean, would you agree with that, Scoop?
Yep.
hey, nothing like a little succinct commentary. But, you know, as we point out, you know, there's a couple of things we're very proud of here in the political cesspool. Our Confederate ancestry that many of us have, and the fact that, and I can't count myself as part of this group, but the majority of our staff have served in the United States Armed Forces honorably. And, you know, I say that because if anyone has earned the right to be critical of a government and its abuse of its authority, it is the people who have served. Now, we all have that right as citizens, but when it comes from people like Scoop and the Bombardier and Winston Smith and Art Frith, I think you have to say that coming from them, it carries weight a little bit more so. Anyway, Scoop, thank you for your report tonight. When we come back, we're going to tell you about another life that didn't matter. A civil rights activist was killed in Mississippi. But you're not going to see a movie made in his honor. We're going to give you the whole story right after this.
There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.